The Book Club at 91.7. I'm Mark Purcell. Glad to have you along on this Saturday morning. On the phone with me is Nicholas Petrie, author of the first-time novel called The Drifter. It looks at a soldier from Iraq and Afghanistan returning home. It's a thriller action. I don't know if you'd call it adventure, but it is quite a wild ride that Nicholas Petrie takes his main character on. Nick Petrie, welcome to The Book Club at 91.7.
Well, thanks for having me, Mark. I really appreciate your interest in the book.
It is very intriguing how every person, every character in this book seems to have been affected by their time in the service and going out on tour. What was the catalyst for bringing together the plot of The Drifter?
Well, my day job is as a building inspector. So if you buy a house, you hire a guy like me to tell you what's wrong with it. And in 2008, 2009, 2010, I had customers who were coming back from overseas and buying houses. And I realized through these conversations really how little I knew. I mean, you see the war on television, but how little I really knew about what their lives were like as they were coming home and the challenges that they were facing. And it was the more conversations I had with these clients of mine, the more interested I became. And that combined with, you know, the recession that was really kicking pretty heavily into gear at that point, you know, was all kind of swirling around in my head. And this is the story that came out of that.
Well, this is your first novel, Nick, but I was wondering about where that writing spark came from, because I do notice that you won a writing prize as an undergraduate. You also got an MFA from University of Washington for fiction. But what was the writing bug? How did you get bitten?
Well, I started writing for my high school newspaper back more years ago than I care to remember. And I always had sort of a flair for putting sentences together, and I ended up as the editor of that newspaper. And when you're the editor, you get to assign yourself your own stories. And I wrote an 8-part comic soap opera set in the hallways of the school. And every day when that newspaper came out, people would stop me at lunch or in class and say, "Oh boy, I really like that thing." And some of those people were actually girls. So, you know, that was for me really what got me hooked was, you know, it was a way to talk to girls.
There you go. Well, it's obvious from your prose here in your book, The Drifter, that you really honed your craft. You, from the very beginning of the book, as your main character, Peter Ash, is crawling under a porch to encounter what we'll call a feral dog, it really swept me into the story and you know, captured my imagination immediately. And part of it was your main character, Peter Ash, and how he was dealing with post-traumatic stress disorder. And talking about it being a white static, was this something that you had heard about from one of your clients, or was this an overall impression that you'd heard from some of these veterans returning from the Mideast?
No, the white static was purely out of my own imagination. But it's a personal term that my character Peter Ash uses to describe the sensation of the beginning of a panic attack. And panic attacks are you know, one of the ways that post-traumatic stress kind of shows up. There are as many different ways to experience PTSD as there are people who have them. It's really a very personal thing, and it really depends on the experience you've had. And so I just wanted to find a form of it that would say something else about the character and that would help propel the book forward. And his post-traumatic stress takes the form of a claustrophobia, which makes it difficult for him to be inside. And I thought, well, what kind of book can I write if the character can only be inside for 10 or 15 minutes? And so, you know, it to me, it lent itself to some more dramatic possibilities than if, for example, he was an agoraphobic and couldn't go outside, because that wouldn't be a very interesting book at all if my character could never leave the house.
It's a riveting thriller from writer Nicholas Petrie called The Drifter, available where books are sold. You can learn more about it at wvxu.org. And to touch on a point you were just making there, Nick, in the book, towards the end of one chapter, you talk about how combat vets are changed by war, how Some of them are physically changed, and I'll quote here, wounded, missing limbs. That's very difficult, but some have other effects, stress effects, which are no less real. And for some vets, they're harder to live with because you can't see them. And that's a sense you have with each of the characters, a lot of the characters here in The Drifter. And it truly is something different for everyone, right?
Well, everybody has a different experience. And I think it's really easy for those of us who you know, I was never in the military. And I didn't, you know, serve overseas in that manner. And so I think it's easy for anybody to sort of put somebody in a category. And post-traumatic stress has a certain stigma attached to it, which is not at all fair or honestly very realistic. You know, we all kind of have this Rambo thing in our head, which the culture has deposited there. But you know, that's not the form it takes for most people. For the people who are suffering, it's deeply embarrassing and it's deeply debilitating. It's people who can't get out of bed, who can't leave the house, who can't be in crowds, who, you know, and again, this is certainly not every veteran. It really only affects about 20% of veterans who served overseas. And for the vast majority of those, this is something that they work their way through the first few months or few years. So this isn't, you know, we also have a perception that this is something that every veteran is suffering from, and that's not true either. But I did want to make it very individual. I really wanted to make it very specific because everybody has had their very own experience. Some of the vets I've talked to say, well, my war was, you know, every veteran fights their own particular war, both overseas and at home. And I guess that was really my goal, was to have it be something that was so specific that you could say, I feel like I know this guy. So that people might be more willing to have that conversation with the next guy.
Reaching back a century to World War I, soldiers came home with what folks called shell-shocked. That kind of carried over into World War II and of course, the Vietnam War and reaction to soldiers when they came home was very different. What have you noticed that is most different about Iraq and Afghanistan vets coming back from the horrors of the battles that they saw that's different from these previous veterans? Do you have any sense about how that stress has changed over time for each war?
Well, there's a couple of differences. Part of the difference is that, you know, in Vietnam, you know, we really blamed the guys who went to fight. And that was incredibly wrong. You know, if you're against the war, that's fine. But these guys didn't ask to go over. You know, this was a draft army. You know, so we learned that, you know, we needed to still respect and honor the people who went over to fight. And that's a big difference from the Vietnam era. But now we have this all-volunteer force. It doesn't draw across the whole spectrum of society. So there are parts of society where it's the family business, or it's how you start out in your life. You join up, you get money for college, or you stay in and you do your 20, and then you get your pension and you do the next thing. Whereas, you know, fathers and sons for generations have done this. But there are also much larger pieces of our country where people don't know anybody who's been over there. And it's so hard for us to grasp. And I think that's one of the things that's so different, is that it's hard for people to really know what it was like, because so many fewer of us actually have friends and family who've done it. So to me, those two things are very different. And the other is that we really have had to face now that post-traumatic stress is a real deal. It was something that, you know, was sort of poo-pooed for a long, long time. You used to be shot for cowardice if you wouldn't get out of the foxhole. And it was you go to Leavenworth for, you know, your brain misreacting on. So, you know, I think it's a great boon that there's some now this discussion about it and understanding that this is not, it's not a mental health issue. Honestly, it's almost a biochemical response. Our bodies adjust to these stresses. And when you're getting shot at, you develop a certain set of behaviors. And those behaviors are survival mechanisms. They help you to do your job better. They help you to protect your friends that you're fighting alongside. But you come home, that those things are no longer an asset. And it's that adjustment back to you know, kind of reaccustom yourself to a world where, you know, people aren't trying to shoot you every day. To begin to have that conversation, and we really aren't just beginning to have that conversation. You know, if I can plug somebody else's book, if you have been overseas and you're having some of these issues, or if you have friends or family who are having some of these issues, there's a wonderful book by a guy named Charles Hoge, H-O-G-E, who's a retired Army colonel. And he wrote a book called Once a Warrior, Always a Warrior. And it's really a very crisp, clear, and compassionate analysis, almost a how-to. So if your listeners are folks who are thinking about this, it's a great way to learn more. And it's very readable, and it was very illuminating for me personally.
Nicholas Beatry, his first novel is called The Drifter, a riveting thriller. You can learn more about it at our website, wvxu.org. And among other books you mentioned in the acknowledgments, having read David Finkel's Thank You for Your Service, what other kind of research did you do in looking into all these different forms of PTSD, and how did you incorporate that into The Drifter?
Well, the first thing for me was to really feel like I had the character's attitude right. And so that's really what talking to my customers who are veterans was about, and realizing that so many of them had really signed up because they wanted to be helpful. They wanted to, they signed up after 9/11 to be part of the solution, which I found really admirable. And I don't know that I really expected that. When I was coming of age, you signed up to get money for college. You signed up to get out of whatever small town you were in, or to get away from your, to go someplace new, those certainly all still apply. But I was really moved by how many people who just said, we were attacked. I wanted to do something. I wanted to help. So getting the soul of that character, that kind of energy and attitude, was really important. Post-traumatic stress, there's great stuff. So again, this book by Charles Hoge, who worked at Walter Reed, is wonderful. Thank You for Your Service by David Finkel was fantastic. There's a writer named Tim O'Brien who wrote a couple of books about Vietnam. One, Going After Cacciato, which won the National Book Award. The other, The Things They Carried, which was really inspirational to me also. But there's great stuff online. There are chat rooms and blogs where I'm not signed on. I'm not a veteran. But you can read and see how people are talking about these things. And then the other piece really is you have to imagine yourself in that place, and that's what being a writer is all about. You have to find the part of you that is experiencing that too. To be sympathetic and compassionate in that portrayal, because it was important to me not to write a cartoon character. I really wanted to have this be. I mean, it's a thriller, so there are definitely some elements that certainly don't happen to people on a daily basis. But, I really wanted to feel realistic, and I wanted to address these kinds of, to have this kind of conversation in a way that wasn't preachy, that wasn't a lecture, that would be fun to read, that would, kind of get you sucked in, but at the same time help you to have some sympathy for people who had really given up quite a bit, for those of us who didn't.
I found all your portrayals of these very complex characters, each affected in a different way from their service for the country, very illuminating, because it did bring to mind that we are all individuals and each react in a different way. And you did a fine job in The Drifter and at bringing that out. And I have to ask just before, while we only have a moment or two left, I have to ask about one of my other favorite characters, and that is the dog that you describe. Like a timber wolf, run through the wash with a pit bull, a Great Dane, and a fuzzy orange sweatshirt. I have to say, despite your description of the dog in the novel The Drifter, I fell in love with this ugly mutt. Mingus, we come to find his name. Where did the dog come from, and why is the dog part of the story?
Well, I'm not quite sure where the dog came from. He was kind of a surprise. I wanted to give the main character, Peter Ash, I wanted to give him a challenge, and that challenge was to sort of get this big, ugly dog out from under a front porch that he was supposed to be fixing. But I didn't really know quite how I would do it, but he couldn't hurt the dog in the process because I didn't want him to be that kind of character. So I had to figure out how to make that happen. And in the process of writing that scene and the scene that came after, the dog really developed a lot of personality, and I realized, well, this is really something interesting. And it turned out that he turned out to be an important character in the book. There are a couple of plot points that really turn on who the dog is and what the dog knows, in the ways the dog knows things. And I had a black lab growing up who had sort of that same personality, didn't really knew what all the rules were and didn't really care. And Mingus is sort of that kind of dog. He's also sort of the flip side of the coin for Peter, right? He's sort of the pure aggression, pure loyalty, pure, just joy of living. So he helps to sort of embody some of these things for Peter also.
Well, Nicholas, thank you very much for your time this morning, and thank you for the book. I can't wait for your next.
Well, it's my great pleasure to talk to you, and thank you so much for your interest. I really appreciate it.
Nicholas Petrie, author of The Drifter, about veteran Peter Ashe and his return home and the plight of America's veterans all around the country. You can learn more about the book and Nick's work at our website, wvxu.org. This is the Book Club at 91.7.